Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
We are so glad that you are back for part two with Gina Aguilera. Cheryl brought her in as an in-studio guest today, and we've had part one. Go back and listen because Gina,
you don't want to miss it. It's so good.
It's a beautiful story of God's drawing her to himself. And the quick summary is that she grew up in the rough part of Los Angeles. Horrors with abuse and broken family and so much pain. And yet through that, God really, I believe he planted a seed in you, as you were saying, to just really defend the helpless.
Yes.
And be able to. And so this drew Gina to the desire early on to go into the police force in some form.
And in LA.
In LA.
We cannot forget that it's LA.
Yeah. And go through all of it so that she, but through this journey, two marriages that were painfully broken, and then the Lord drew her to himself, and this complete surrender, and with two little boys she's raising, and then the Lord brought into her life her third husband, and
Xavier.
Xavier with his four boys. And so that's about where we left off, and we can't wait to hear how did he proposed. How did
yes.
you told us that he knew before you did.
Yes. That's, I've got one thing to say, though, because the cop in L.A. just really gets me. So my mother was raised in L.A., right? Yeah. So anytime there was anything that was a little bit that I got scared, she'd be like, come on, Cheryl, I was raised in L.A. And she would say that about everything. I was raised. We got stuck in a riot in Jerusalem. And I'm like, Mom, hold back. Cheryl, I was raised in L.A. And I'm like, oh, there we go. Right into the middle of it. And she's right behind the CNN cameras. And I'm like, so she was. Yeah. So I grew up thinking anyone who is raised or serves in L.A., they've got some backbone. And that's what I sense with you. And again, listeners, please, you do not want to miss part one, especially the Harley Davidson story. So go back.
I was just going to add that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we want to know about the proposal.
Okay. So we start dating and I'm thinking, I don't want to get married. I just want to, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I saw something in him that was like so different. He was just always putting me first and just such a blessing, you know? And then the kids, I was like, oh my goodness. And so I started helping out and I just felt the love, you know, and I'm like, just so different. So I helped out with the kids and, he was like the one I knew in my heart. I was like, okay, God, if it's not for me, you know, just get him out of the picture, you know? And I was just really afraid. And like I said, we had the problem with the trust and everything. And so he proposed and the proposal was really sweet. We lived in Yorba Linda at the time. And, there was a cute little white picket fence church, Yorba Linda Calvary Chapel. And they actually sold the property. We were really sad, but it was really cute little white picket fence. And that's where we ended up. We were talking about the marriage and everything and possibly, you know, in the future, but he didn't tell me that what he was going to do. So he takes me to this church and we walk inside and it was just my husband, myself, and then the boys, the other boys were all in school except for Sammy because Sammy was only three. So Sammy comes along and he gives Sammy the ring and we're looking at this chapel and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I just got to, you know, do something here at the church. So we're actually in the chapel and it was just such a cute church. And he walks up and he proposes and Sammy was present there, you know.
Aww.
And I don't remember if he gave Sammy a camera or something to take pictures, but he actually proposed in the church where we ended up getting married. And it was just so, so nice. And I thought,
so
oh, beautiful. My goodness.
Again, sacred. What a difference.
Yes, yes.
Third marriage, but coming to it with the Lord's blessing.
Yes, yes. And so we ended up getting married. And oh, boy, let me tell you, I went from having two children who were 7 years apart. Okay. So there was no like fighting for toys any chaos to having six boys in the house. And
what was the age range?
So they were 3, 5, 7, and 9. And then mine was like 7 and 14?
Wow.
16. Yeah. So I was like, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
Actually, my oldest son was like 17 because he ended up saying, I'm out of here. This is crazy. So he moved out with grandma, and then he ended up getting his own. You know, he got married with his high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I remember packing lunches. I remember calling my mom and saying, "Mom, what did I get?" She's like, "Honey, you know, you've got a good husband." She's like, "But it's not going to be easy." And I said, "Oh my goodness." And it wasn't, you know, because I wasn't used to the chaos. I was used to being a single mom, mm-hmm. having my house in order, everything perfect. Mm. Whatever I wore that day to work out, it was already clean by the evening because the nanny took care of it and I was off to work and my house was always clean. And the kids were just too different in age group to be arguing and fighting. So now you got these kids and I'm like, why are they yelling? Xavier, what's going on?
Why are they wrestling?
Why are they wrestling? And he's like, they're just playing. And I'm like, but what? Why isn't that? You know, and it was just really, really hard for me. So fast forward, he says, you know, maybe you should retire. And I'm like, retire? I love what I did. By this time, I had 20 years on the job. And I'm like, I don't know. I love what I do. Oh, let's just look into it. And maybe, you know, you can retire and help me out with the kids and I'll take care of you. And I was like, I mean, that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we ended up buying a home together. And I thought, you know, it's kind of tempting, you know. So we looked into it. And sure enough, next thing you know, I was retired. And I was like, oh, no. What did I do? You know, give up my career. I raised the kids. And the first year was so hard for me because I remember just the change from being this independent woman going to, you know, career world. And now I'm home with all these boys. And I'm like, oh, goodness, this is not what I planned. And it was so hard. But I remember that he's like, you know what? This is the best thing. Like God's, he knows he's got a bigger plan.
So and important. I, yeah. The value.
And I was like, okay, you know what? Those I've got to be obedient. And God, you're right. He's got a bigger plan for us.
Okay. How many stepmoms would do that? How many stepmoms?
Very true.
You know, I mean, to be a stepmother and to be willing to step in and love those boys like your own. I mean, you don't hear stories like this very often. These are the rarity.
Yeah.
So what was really hard is, I'll never forget, the mom was kind of in the picture. She would show up once in a while to pick them up and visit with her boyfriend. But sometimes I remember this one time, Bruce was 9 years old. He was the oldest. And I remember going to the police station because being a police officer, I never wanted her to make any allegations. So we're like, okay, we'll do the exchange at the police station just to keep. And she liked me. I wasn't a part of their divorce. Right. So I remember showing up at the police station and the kids, you know, they had their little bags. I'd pack everything for them. And she didn't show up.
Oh,
so many times. And the kids, I'd put them in the car because Xavier was like, can you deal with her? I don't want to deal with her. And I said, yeah, absolutely. So, and the kids would just, can we give her 5 more minutes? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure, honey. And I thought, oh, these poor kids.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget getting in the car and the oldest was in the front and the other ones were in the back just crying. Mm. And Bruce looks at me and he says, Gina, can I ask you a question? I said, absolutely. And I said, oh, God, help me with this. I don't know what he's going to ask me, but just give me the right words. And he says, what could be more important to a mother than her children? When he said that, I said, oh, Lord, how do I answer this? And so I kind of paused and I said, listen, honey, let me tell you something. I said, nothing is more important to a mother than her children. I said, there's definitely something going on in her life which is stopping her from being there. I said, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We don't know something physical, something emotional, mental. We don't know. I said, all we can do is pray for her. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Your dad will never leave you. And all we can do is pray. Mm. Your dad's going to be here and I'm going to help your dad. I said, I'm not, you know, but I'm going to help. And we'll continue to just pray and try to, you know, go forward. And he's like, okay. And I remember one of the times, one of the little ones said, if she doesn't show up today, that's it. And I was already married. We're calling you mom, and you're going to be our mom. And I thought, well, you guys don't have to, only if you want to. And I was mom ever since then.
Oh, bless the Lord. That's so precious.
Then, wow. I was their mom, and to this day, I'm their mom.
It's really like beauty from the ashes.
It really is, yeah.
Really.
So How old is the youngest? How old is Sammy now?
So Sammy now is 19.
Okay.
19.
Okay. So is he still at home?
He's still at home.
See, you're doing a good job. You know what? Want to stay.
There's two police officers.
No.
Yes. Two police officers that are just going to get off training. One's in Anaheim. One's in LA County. Follow dad's footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
One's a little entrepreneur, my oldest. And then Adam, he's a nurse, RN at St. Joseph's Hospital.
Yes.
And then a counselor at a high school in Roland School District. And little Sammy just got accepted to Concordia and wants to be a nurse.
Wow.
Just so, look at this, the careers of helping.
Yes.
The role modeling.
Yes.
You and Xavier showed them of giving to others.
I look at that and I'm like, wow. Like, I look at them. They're all bigger than me. They look like my bodyguards. And I'm just like, what a blessing. Like, wow, it's amazing. You know, and
this is so important that you're telling somebody's listening. I just know it. Someone's listening who's in the thick of it with the 3 years old.
Was not easy.
And this is really hope for them.
Oh, yes.
You just get to the other side and look back and surrounded by your bodyguards. Yes. You're like,
but to make it a ministry. To make it a ministry.
The complete surrender of what was
this is a way
so
to serve
to
the
you.
Lord. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think sometimes, you know, we can see that we're serving the Lord if we're a cop or we've got this title.
Yes.
But when you're like, title is stepmother at home, you're like, you know, and yet to see it.
Yes.
As this is a way to minister to the Lord by ministering to these wild wrestlers who all live and make my house a mess. And my mom used to call my brothers calenturadas because she said they were hollow-bodied animals,
dear.
Because the appetite of boys, the appetite eat you out of house and home.
Yes, absolutely. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, what did I get myself into? You
it's
know?
A good thing your mom had a catering business.
Yes, yes.
You knew how to
she was like, okay.
Pull up the taco truck and let them line up.
Yeah, no, she actually ended up selling the business and became a medical assistant. Dad was like, he really blessed her. He's like, nope, you're not doing that. You're going to, you know, so she was a medical assistant and now she just, you know, she's retired now. But it's awesome because, you know, it sounds like a fairy tale. But let me tell you, when they were little, it was really hard because of the chaos and
of
the mess.
Course.
But then as they got older, we dealt with you're my stepmom.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, what?
Yeah.
And then, dad, she's too strict.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'll never forget you when they, you know, and I'm like, go ahead. You can be upset, but I'm going to teach you to be a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be like your dad.
Yes.
And I was that tough mom because, you know, my background. And I said, you will open the door for the girls. You will say, excuse me. You will say, thank you. And they thought, oh, she's so harsh. She's
and
so
you just
hard.
Pull out the picture of the Harley Davidson.
You married this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I was the meat. My husband is the nice, the cool dad, you know.
Oh, really good cop, bad cop.
Yes, exactly. So it was really difficult because as they became teenagers, it's kind of like, they forgot, like, I raised you like I'm your mom. But all of a sudden, of course, so we had that difficult moment where it's like, no, you have to parent. And I think my husband's got such a big heart. It was hard for him to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So we dealt with that. And I was like the disciplinary one and I was like the mean one. And so we went through that phase where I was like, okay, you want to throw in the towel, you can go ahead and do it. And and it was like, that didn't last. He's like, no, we're going to do this together. And he never gave up. That's one thing about my husband, me, I'm a little rebel. Sometimes I was like, okay, no, I can't do this. I'm done. You know, I've raised him now if you want it. And he's like, no, we're going to do this together.
It's the faithfulness, isn't it? That's
faithfulness.
And that's what they didn't see with their birth mom. And that's what they saw in you.
Yeah.
And that's just reflecting
and,
goodness.
And sometimes when you have someone leave like that, they're going to test the person
of
that's
course.
There.
Absolutely.
And so you had to take the tests that were meant for her.
Yes.
You had to do, are you still going to be faithful if I'm not nice?
Yes.
What will drive you away? What will make you quit? Yes. And obviously, nothing.
No,
nothing.
No. And, you know, it's funny because if I'm a little harsh, and even now we have two adult children living at home, and it's not easy, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got to set the, and my husband's like, oh, you know, they're adults. And I'm like, they're still in my house.
That's
you
right.
Know? And so he's like I said, he's a nice guy. And I'm just like, I come to him, but it's really hard. It's hard. It's not easy being a stepmom, but they know I love them because I'll give them the silent treatment. As adults, I'll give them the silent treatment. I'm like, I'm mad at you. You know, you didn't do what you're supposed to. We don't ask very much of you. But then I notice like, they'll come talk, Mom, I'm sorry, you know.
Oh,
and,
precious.
And it's like, and then I'll still be mad at my husband and he'll be mad at me. But we, and I'm like, they know I love them. They
yeah,
know. But it's
here.
Like, yeah. And my husband's got this deep love. And I think because of the trauma that they went through with losing their mom,
mm-hmm.
of course.
He's just got this big heart for them. And I'm like, you gotta, you know, yeah. discipline. You gotta be a little harder. But, you know, I think there's a balance, you know. We don't give up. We've been married 16 years.
Excellent.
So 16 years, and I'm like, you know, by the grace of God, there's no, the D word is not ever considered.
Yeah, there's no exit door.
There is no exit door, and we just, we will be together, and we put God in the center of our marriage, and, you know, I hold on to Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's my thing, and I'm like, you know what?
That's a great first police officer.
It really is. I'm like, you know, he's going to equip me with everything, and nothing formed against me, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, is going to get in the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had spiritual warfare in the home. I've had spiritual warfare at work, know, and, you know, promotions passed up, doors closing, and I don't give up. I'm like, I'm going to hold on to my God, and he's going to open up the right door.
Faithfulness.
So let's talk about where you're at now, because it's a blessing for moi and for our church. So talk about where you're at right now.
Okay. So I retired and all that, and then I went to work at a community college, and then I was trying to build a second pension from work, and I only made it to 3.5 years. I think it's 5 years before you can get your other pension. And I thought, okay, God, you know, you want me not, you know, to not work. I didn't work there anymore. I left. It was my choice. And then I thought, you know, I felt like I retired too soon, and I loved, I had a passion for law enforcement. And I said, I want to go back. And I told Xavier, the kids are grown. I want to go back. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? And I said, well, maybe like at a high school or community college, but I can be a police officer at a community college or a high school. And he's like, you know what? I support you, whatever you want, honey. And I said, okay. So I went and I recertified myself. So, and that entails going through another academy, but it's an 8-week academy, which wasn't easy.
That's 57. Intense. Yeah. Yeah.
And I recently recertified myself. My husband's like, you know, I really need help. You know, he's the director here at Calvary Chapel. We
security.
Oversee, yep. Yeah. So he oversees the contracted security, but we're campus safeties, which is another level of security.
Yes.
Because we security, when you think of a security guard, you think of observe and report. Okay. We as campus safety here are going to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And with so much ugliness in the world, you know, you need that. You need the guns on campus, and you will engage. If there's a kidnapping, we're going to engage. So he says, I really need your, you know, your help. The contracted security, I need you to help me build this and make it to a different level. So I came and worked here, and but I was still like, I want to do this. But I noticed, I truly believe, because I'm 57, I'm older, and on paper they see that as I'm applying to all these police agencies. They're like, yeah, she's got all this experience, 20 years, but she's 57. Like, what are we going to get out of her, you know? So I feel like there's been times where that door is shut on me, and I thought, okay, I really want to do this. I really enjoy working here at Calvary Chapel. I'm like, okay, God, you put me here. This is where you want me. And so I recently said, you know what? I'm going to renew my police powers. So I'm going to be a reserve officer. So I've put in to be a reserve officer. And so I still have all my police powers, but I'm
amazing.
And if he wants me here at Calvary, this is where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And I love working the different departments. You know, we're in charge of the K-Wade building. We've got to protect. We've got CARES. We've got the high schoolers. And it's just such a blessing to see these kids.
And not only that, but what you do, and maybe this will help us segue into the next part, is that you also train. Like you also, they've come up with exit strategies, and they've researched, like, if there's an earthquake, this is what we do. If there's a fire, this is what we do. If there is a shooter on campus, which unfortunately, you know, with what just happened in, you know, Minneapolis, we have to be prepared for all those eventualities. And that's why they're here. And they've also come up with safeguards that they've had to pray about, think about, and put up these safeguards for the students. students. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not just for those outsiders coming in, but it's also, you know, those on campus. But we only have 5 minutes, so I really want to get to what we promised everybody.
Safety
tips. Yes. What do you want to say to the women?
You know what? Be aware. I know phones are a big distraction. Just coming to work, I saw an accident, you know, rear end, and I'm like, phones are such a big distraction. If you're in the parking lot, please just put your phones away. Have your keys readily available as you're walking to your car. Be aware. Look into cars. Don't be distracted. People will walk up to you and start talking to you. Keep a safe distance. You know, when you go into, you know, restaurants, movie theaters, know where the exits are. Be aware of all those things, you know. Don't be so distracted. If you have to positively be on your phone, have it raised up where you can still have peripheral vision of your surroundings. Communicate, you know, and teach your children safety. Teach them about earthquakes. And, you know, I've gone in my kids' rooms where they have the pillows and all kinds of messes on the floor. It's like, no, pick those things up, you know, and just be vigilant, be aware, communicate, have a plan. Have a plan of a reunification if something happens. You know, where are we going to meet? Where are we going to, you know, how are we going to reunify? And just constant communication. Unfortunately, those things have to take place because of the world we live in. And just constant communication, train, you know, communicate with your kids, have a plan, and don't be afraid to, you know, think about these things and share with their children. And don't think it's too early of an age to talk to them. There's ways of teaching them how to be safe and you as well as yourselves.
And I remember one thing that really stuck with me, and I think this is what I told Robin, is never have less than half a tank of gas.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And never go to the bank or gas or any of that at night. Do those things in the daytime.
And I was just thinking how there's got to be somebody who's listening who lives in a very mellow, small town someplace, so they can't even imagine those crazy California women who are police officers and, you know, but it is so true that these principles are going to apply everywhere, not to instill a spirit of fear, but a preparedness. And because clearly in the Gospels, Jesus told us, be alert, be aware.
Yeah, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
That's such a beautiful thing, too, that you have been able to curate that for your own children. Yes. And that prompted them to go into roles of helping others,
right.
And that's the objective here, not out of a spirit of fear, but a power, love, strong mind, like
absolutely.
To just be able to be ready for whatever is happening in this crazy world, and trusting God.
Yeah, and remembering to lock the doors. I mean, there were so many things I was like,
lighting, you know, leaving radios on in the day, things like that.
Well, the paying attention alone is huge.
Yes.
And so, I mean, but the half a gas tank really got me, you know, like right now I'm on a quarter of a tank. I'm like, Brian, I have to get gas immediately, vigilant.
Yes, absolutely.
And he was telling us some of the reasons for that, too. And then be aware when you're getting in your car that there's nobody around. Absolutely. I have actually been accosted getting in my car where I couldn't get the key in soon enough. And this man grabbed my arm and tried to drag me away. My girlfriend was on the other side and his friend tried to drag her away. We're in the middle of Main Street, Huntington Beach, and I begin to yell out at the top of my lungs, I love Jesus. Yeah. That's all I can think of. I love Jesus, and I'm married, and I'm going to have a baby. And she starts screaming, I love Jesus. Like, we are, like, at the top of our lungs.
Call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah. And she's like, and I'm married, and I love Jesus. I mean, we're so loud, we evangelized the whole street. And now we're drawing attention, because you say in the name of Jesus, everybody turns around, right?
Turn around. Absolutely.
And so anyway, one guy goes, let's get out of here. Because they're saying, come smoke a joint with us. And we're like, we love Jesus. And so the one guy goes, you know, they're married. And the one guy goes, and they love Jesus, you know. And the other guy goes, and this one's going to have a baby. Oh, and we're just like, we get in the car. We lock the doors. And we're just like, we get out of there. The first chance we did, we're like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
We've just been saved. But it's things like that to be vigilant. We weren't. We were talking away,
right.
And we had smoothies. And downtown Main Street in Huntington, we didn't expect respect
right,
it.
Right.
And so, you can't beat them, you join them. You get crazy like they do, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
It worked
to be
for
safe.
David when he pretended like he was insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the tips for me were like, okay, yeah.
And well, and you know, I'm looking at Gina's keychain sitting here on the desk. And
oh, yeah.
That, my
you
little
have
flashlight.
Pieces.
Yes,
you have a
I've
flashlight
got my little
on
flashlight.
Your keychain. I think that's really smart.
Yes,
you can't rely on your phone to find that flashlight.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard. So I have a little tiny flashlight. You've got a little pepper spray baton. So all those things.
She's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to
especially a light, because I know sometimes I stay a little later than I thought, and I get home, and for a while I couldn't pull in the garage, and even pulling into the garage, you have to be aware of your environment. You know, this is the world we live in.
Absolutely.
This is
don't ever
we
be
breathe.
Afraid to ask for an escort if you're somewhere. They usually have safety or security team that will escort you if you're late somewhere. So
thank
I
you,
love that.
Gina.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I
you
loved
for the opportunity.
Yes. Oh, no. I knew
blessing.
This was going to be good, and you did
you.
Not fail.
I love it. Thank you.
This was Gina Aguilar, and I was so excited, and I know you enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.